Oh, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory for being with us here tonight and ministering to your people and doing what only you can do, Father God. And Father, we just know that there's needs here. And I'm asking, Father, that the holy angelic angels be going to and fro throughout these chairs this night as we minister and they minister to the people's needs. And Father, we just thank you that we have you. We have an abundance of you. And that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, tonight, God wants me to talk about transition in our transformation. And as we know, we're in a transition period. And God is trying to get us to change during this transmission. Transition, not transmission. In this transition. And some people are having a hard time changing. If I can't pronounce the word, how are you going to change, right? That's that transmission on my mind. The body of Christ is at a crossroads, and we've been there for a while. And we need to make up our mind which way we're going to go. Now, I know this morning you submitted yourself to the call of God on your lives. But now, since you submitted yourself to that call, now you have to keep going. You can't stop. You can't turn around. You can't look back. You have to just go forward. And Sister Elaine said something. She said the people on the street are hungry for the Word of God. And, you know, when I first God called me to preach, you know, in Isaiah where God said, who can I send? And Isaiah said, send me. But then if you read the rest, go on and read why, then God told him what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to go preach the gospel to the people and they would never change. Their ears would be closed and their hearts would be cold and they just would never change. And he was talking about the house of God. And as you watch, if you really watch the house of God, God has ministered word to them over and over and over again. And they haven't changed, have they? They still stay the same. They don't want to believe the gospel, the true gospel. They want you to give them a word that will tickle their ears and let them go ahead and sin. And you know, and Isaiah said, well, God, how long will this go on? He said, until the land is desolate and laid waste. Now, we know that for 40 years I preached to the church. And I even cried out many times, God, what are you going to do? Because the word is not changing the people. And God never answered me on that. But then he told me the glory was coming, and it hasn't come yet, but it is coming. But also, he also told us about a year ago that he has left the church. And now he's going out onto the streets. He's going into the highways and the byways, because like in Isaiah's times, God said, when you go, they're not going to change. They're just going to stay the same as they are now. But you preach the word to them. And they can't say that they weren't given a chance to change. All right, now God is out on the streets. And God is ministering to the street people. Who, Elaine and I know, says that they're hungry for the gospel. And I felt sorry about the report of the church that took the street people in and then criticized and condemned them. Now, I have noticed one thing. That, you know, God isn't going to talk so much about judgment anymore because he's now dealing with people who don't know him. And so what they're going to have to know is his love and his mercy and his grace. Now, if you're a child of God and you've been sitting in the house of God and you haven't changed, don't think that, oh, well, I can just go ahead and live my life the way I am because God isn't talking about sin. That's not true. You can't, you know, you might have missed a boat. You know, might have, God, because God did say that you're going to miss the boat if you didn't start changing. So tonight we're going to, and this revival is all about transformation. And I thought he did a good job so far. And tonight he's talking about transition. And so he's trying to get us transitioned from the old to the new. All right. So transformation is the act of changing in form, shape, or appearance, a qualitative change. I'm just sort of saying what I said Saturday. Real change starts with a new life, not just a new leaf. Remember, we talked about that. Transformation always involves something old passing away and something new taking its place. We are constantly in need of change. It doesn't matter if you are saved or unsaved. There is always change taking place in our lives. And isn't that true? If you're really watching your walk with God, every day something new is happening. God has taken away the old and trying to bring in something new. So that's change. So if you allow God to take you into transition, take you through transition, you'll also be transformed. But if you're not going to allow, if you want to be stuck back here in the old, you're never going to go through the transition to get into the new, and you're never going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and therefore you won't ever do what God's calling you forth to do. That's simple. Nothing hard in that. And if you're really sold out to God, and if you're really listening to God's voice and really walking with God with all your heart, even with all the mess you're going through, you're going to find that God's been speaking to you more often, giving you more dreams, revealing the scriptures to you more clearly than you've known before. Some of these scriptures I've read for 40 years, and all of a sudden there's new life in these words. There's new meaning there. Excuse me, same word. God's just enlightening me in different areas of the word. So it's up to you whether or not you go deeper with God. You stay right where you're at, on the level you're at, never ever receiving all that God wants to do with you. Or if you just let God take you clear in over your head and drown you. And, you know, and do great and mighty things for you, through you. And through you means to others. All right. I don't know about you, but I have found out that the world that's out there is already dark, but it's getting darker. Sin, you think there couldn't be any more worse sin, and then worse sin comes on the scene. You think there's no way in the world that anything worse could happen, but yet worse things are happening. And God is saying they're even going to be worse than what they are right now. So we have to let God transition us into that reality also. That even though the world is getting darker, he said he would never leave his children nor forsake them. And he's been telling us that our light is going to expel all that darkness, and people are going to be able to come to the gospel because of the light that you carry into a dark world. Now, we can't be on a fence. We just can't be on a fence. We're either in or we're out. Either we are all for God or not for God at all right? So that's totally up to you. I can't make you follow Christ. I can't make you change. All I can do is give you the word, like God told Isaiah to do, and then you do what you want to do with that word. Now, God spoke to me and said it is transition time, and the people are not ready for the transition. They are too entrenched in their old nature to move into the new. And this is what God's trying to do. He's trying to stir you up. He's trying to get you out of that old lifestyle, out of that old habit, out of that old way of thinking, and bring you into his new that he's doing at this given time. It is time to collect all the old, this is what he's saying to you guys tonight, throw it as far away from yourself as you can, and step into the new. And as I was typing, God was telling me this, and I was typing it, and I could just see you people saying, all right, God, I'm collecting up all that old stuff that's inside of me, and I'm just throwing it as far as I can throw it, and you take it, and I never want to see it again. And what I want you to do, God, in those voids where the old was, I want you to fill me up with the new that you want me to have. All right? And I know that because I saw it in the spirit realm as I was typing. So I know that as you do this, God is going to meet you, and he's going to collect all that old. I'm just hearing him say he's going to collect all that old, and he's going to deposit in you that newness of him, of where he's at today. All right, so we are all in transition. God has been telling us that, number one, church is not going to be as usual. Our sure isn't. Number two, our old way of preaching is not going to make it. God's had us do new way of preaching. Number three, the religious spirit will not make it. It will be by the spirit or nothing. Religion's dead. It's spirit calling to spirit. And number four, he has also been telling us that he is bringing us new anointings. All right? So many people want us to perform, but Jesus was not a performer. You know, they say, well, do a miracle. No. We don't do miracles. God does. If you're looking at me saying, I want you to see you do a miracle, well, then you want me to perform, and I can't perform. All right? He also spoke and said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Church, be on alert. You are to do only what the Father anoints you to do, and nothing more. Your anointing is only as strong as the anointing God places on you, and you can't go any further than that anointing. If you go further than the anointing that God has placed upon you, then you've switched over to self. Then self is working, and nothing is being accomplished. Now this morning, the Holy Spirit was so strong in here, and then God spoke, and then I used His word to preach it, and it was really hard for me not to cry because God was super strong in here this morning. Now I could not break that anointing if I wanted to, but I don't want to. I was having a hard time composing myself, but I should have just let myself go and we could all just went with the flow. Amen. So we can't go beyond what God's doing. I could have stopped that anointing, but I didn't want to. But what I'm saying here is, if you try to go beyond the anointing that God has, then you're in the flesh. All right. Where am I at? Today is a day. Today is a day for your salvation to mature. You came here tonight for the revival. This is your night to mature. You have been working in one field. Now listen to this. You have been working in one field, and God is coming to surprise you in that field with an anointing. However, the anointing is not for the field you are presently laboring in. This is a time of rearranging assignments. Remember, God told us that. God will find you in your present field and anoint you for the place He has for you. Elaine came here with an anointing to blow the shofar, but the anointing God gave her was for the street. I was thinking about Barbara. She came here with an anointing to be in the flag team, but God said to her, I want you off the flag team, but the anointing He was giving her was for what she's doing right now. See this? We might be doing one thing, but then God comes, and we think we're right where God wants us, but then He comes and gives us a new anointing to do something else. So guys, if you're doing something right now for God, and you and I'm feeling the anointing, you're really there, and you really think that's where you're going to stay, and it's not going to be where you're going to stay. God has a new thing for you to do, and you have to be open to step into the new. And really, if you're honest with yourself, you'll know when you're finished in an area, and you know when to let go of it and let God put you wherever He wants to place you. I used to have a great anointing to do the song services, but I knew when to quit because I labored and labored and labored to get a song service together. So God transferred that anointing over to somebody else. But during this revival, God said, I want you to take it back for the revival, because He speaks to me what He's going to do to each revival. And then He speaks to me what songs to sing and exactly what to do. So right now I have it back, but I'll be glad to release it back to the person again. But see, God then has now transferred anointing back to me to put together song services. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? God will give you the anointing to do what you have to do, but you have to know when the anointing is stopped, and you have to be willing to let it go and move on with God to the new thing. I think He told Sister Nancy that He has a new thing for her to do, and she has to let go of some of the things she's doing. Give that responsibility to other people so He can use her in the new thing. But she's been really comfortable with the old, but she has to get uncomfortable and move into the new. All right? Astrid, you came here anointed just to be anointed, just to sing and carry on. But here all the time, now God is saying, now I want you to minister to my women, right, to my people. And now the anointing He had given you when He came in wasn't so you could just get free and happy. It was so you could be a minister to your people. And you've walked into that season, and you have to stay there now. You're anointed to do that. And you can't walk out of it, is what I'm saying. And you can't go beyond. You just have to minister with the anointing and don't try to add something to it. Even though you would like God to do more, the people aren't ready for it yet. So you have to wait for the people to catch up with you. All right? And don't try to overstep the anointing that God's given you. All right. Once you receive the new anointing, you will see the distressing spirit that will hinder your progress. Now just stay with me. God is going to allow us to foresee the enemy structure that we will contend with. So what's going to happen now, you have a new anointing for a new ministry, and you're going to face a new devil. But what God is going to do, he's going to give you foresight so you can see the devil and you know how to deal with him. All right? Right now, many in the body of Christ are contending without the anointing. Many are attempting to go up against an enemy with an anointing that you have already received. And, you already have this anointing, and you're attempting to go against the enemy with that anointing. Instead of waiting for the new anointing God is bringing, you're not getting anywhere with this devil. So what you have to do is wait for the new anointing to kick in and letting God show you exactly what enemy it is that you will be contending with. All right? An example is God gave you, what you should be saying is, God, give me the new anointing to destroy this spirit that dwells deep within me. And let's just talk about the deliverance ministry for a while. You know, I kept saying the deliverance ministry, how come it is that Jay Bartlett can just call in the angels and they do the deliverance and he doesn't go all through all this stuff and this gyration? Well, they really sought God's face and really got with God. And now they also have the same anointing. God gave them that anointing and they call the angels and angels come and they do the deliverance for them. See this? But when I was reading Jay Bartlett, I said, there's something wrong with our deliverance ministry. They're not where they should be, because if Jay Bartlett can do this, then they can too. And so they really took it very seriously and they checked themselves out and they contended with God and they're there. But see, if I had never brought it up, they would probably have been content in the state they were in. But there was a new anointing that they had to get into in order to really get into the nitty gritty where the devils were at and get them out. All right, so God keeps saying your old anointings will not work in this new dispensation of time. Everybody, get your ears perked up to that. Your old anointing will not work in this new dispensation of time. God must set the course today through the anointing. This will determine how you will pray and stand in the days ahead. Remember I got into that praying this morning? Well, then God dealt with it with me this afternoon when I was getting this together. That's why I said what I said. We are not going to be able to pray the way we used to pray. You're working with a new level of demons. You're working with a new area of principalities and powers in the atmosphere. And so there's a new way you're going to have to learn to pray. You're not going to be able to do canned prayers. They're not working. They're just not working. All right? So I said, God must set the course today through the anointing. This will determine how you will pray and stand in the days ahead. Lay down the way you have been praying and seek God's voice to tell you how to pray. In our own Tuesday night prayer meeting, I started getting complaints that the prayer meeting was just dead, that the prayers weren't going anywhere. And the reason is because you're praying the same as you always prayed, and it is not working. You've got to seek God's face for the new anointing on how to pray and pray properly, pray effectively. All right. So instead of complaining that the Tuesday night prayer meeting is dead, you should have been seeking God's face. Why is it dead? And that's what I started to do. And God did tell me they're not praying properly. All right? You have been so determined to stay spiritually focused in the way that you are going that you are missing God's assignment. Remember, God said he's going to give us new assignments. Remember that? God is saying, I am giving new assignments and giving new burdens. see this, and raising up new intercessory calls. So the intercessor here for Tuesday night prayer meeting, get ready, because God's going to give you a new anointing. He's going to tell you a new way to pray, and you guys are going to start being effective in the Tuesday night prayers. All right, so as you receive all this, then this will stop some of the warfare that you are experiencing. In other words, because you're not praying properly, the devil's in there just really fighting you. And he's fighting you because he doesn't want you to know that there's a new anointing to pray and a new way to fight him. All right? This is a time when you must learn, you must listen and must quickly enter into your pause. In other words, do not move unless God is telling you to move. You need to learn, okay, I have to stop. And I have to listen for God's voice and do what he's telling me to do. Too many of us, we're like on a treadmill. We just keep going and going and going and going. And we're going in our own strength. And really, God, what I say here, this is a time when you must listen and must quickly enter into your pause, your stop time. In other words, do not move unless God is telling you to move. And I mean, like, if you have a project, you just might be going and going on that project, but it's not going anywhere. It's because God has not given you you haven't received the right instructions from God to move into that thing. Are you ladies listening here tonight? I want you to leave here changed and rearranged. I want you to leave here, you know, excited in your spirit, man, knowing that God is doing a new thing in you. He hasn't cast you aside. He doesn't want you to be some old stale thing sitting there in a chair, never doing what God wants you to do. He wants you to seek his face with that new anointing that he wants to place within you. All right, so I said, do not move unless God's telling you to move. If you don't pause, you will be determined to correct when God is not correcting. You see that? You will misrepresent God in the moment. God must have a people who represent him in the moment, because moments are getting shorter. In other words, if you don't stop and listen for God's voice when you're ministering to somebody, you just might minister them wrong. You might say something that you should never say. Are you listening? So before you even speak, you need to start stopping and listening for the voice of God and only speak what he wants to say. Ladies, I know ladies are all like, they all just like to run their mouth. You know, just go on and on and on. But you need to stop doing that. You need to say, you know, if somebody wants you to, if they want to talk about something, what you need to say is to yourself, if God isn't in this, I need to stop. I'm not going to say one word unless God tells me to say it. This is why people are being destroyed, because we just run our mouth, go on and on. Men do the same thing. And you're just talking in circles. Nothing is being accomplished. If you're around me very often, you'll hear me say, I'm not hearing God, so I'm not saying nothing. People call me for prayer and I pray. And if I don't hear a word, I don't hear a word. You know, it doesn't matter what they want to hear. How serious it is, if I'm not hearing, I'm just not hearing, and you don't need my advice, because it's not good advice, because it doesn't come from the Father. You guys have had to be the same way. Don't be, oh, they're going to call me for advice. No, that's not it. They're calling Jesus. If they're not calling Jesus, then they don't need your advice, because you're not Jesus. And you need to be content with the anointing God has given you, and you need to just quit trying to be the one that's right all the time. All right, God has been telling us that this is a season of the angels, and we need to be calling on the angels of God to do the works for us. And Genesis 24:40 says, But he said to me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. So by this we know that there's an angel of prosperity. And if you're not prospering, then you need to call on the angel of prosperity to come and prosper you on all sides. You can read what this is all about when you go home, but I just wanted to use this one verse. There is an angel of prosperity that you can call on. And remember, God said, told me a while back that my people are not using all the weapons in my word, and that's why they're not getting what they need. Well, and this, God is saying, this is a dispensation of time where multitude of angels are going to be at our assistance. One of those angels is for prosperity. So if you're lacking in your finances, you need to call. You talk to this angel of prosperity. You call him forth and tell him you want to be prospered on all sides. The Word of God says that you will prosper as your soul prospers, you will prosper. Now, all of you in here know you're reading the Word, you're following God, you're doing what he's telling you to do, you're doing everything to the best of your ability, then you can call this angel of prosperity. All right? And I was telling, and then we read this morning where the angel of the healing, there's a healing angel. You need to call on that healing angel. Instead of, you know, doing all the little magical tricks that we do, trying to get healed, call on that healing angel. Call that healing angel in to heal you. We were talking about the pool of Bethesda this morning. So on that note, I can't remember the guy's name. He's a young guy, came on the scene a couple years ago. And every one of his meetings, heavy set people lost weight. They were screaming because their clothes were falling off of them. So there has to be an angel of weight reduction. There has to be, or every meeting he has, this happens. People lose weight. So there has to, that angels do all these miracles, you know. So what we need to do, this just came to, as I was studying today, I said, God, there has to be an angel of weight loss then, right? So I'm going to, and I said, but there has to be a scripture to back it up too, but I didn't have time to look up because I was trying to get this together. I'm going to look for that scripture. God said, angels will bring us anything we need. But we have to put them to work. So what we're going to have to do now is call on the angel of weight loss. Amen. Whatever you need, and there's an angel assigned to that need. God said, I know everything you have need of, and I will take care of it. How does he take care of it? Through the angels. There's angels of safety, right? So we call forth the angels of safety to keep us safe as we travel. How many of you always place the angel of safety around about your car? I even send a warring angel ahead of me to clear any roadblocks the devil might have in front of me. All right? Come on, let's start using our angels. God has been talking about it, and I was going to teach on it, and then God brought these angels thing to me today as I was studying. So I'm bringing it out tonight. Please call on the angels for whatever you need. I'm hearing God say he has an angel of supply. Is there a supply that you need or something? And God calling that angel whatever and tell him what you need. And he is supposed to go and get it for you. All right. There has to be an angel of automobiles, right? Everybody's car is breaking down, right? Everybody's car is breaking down. So I just now that, well, there has to be an angel of automobiles. There has to be a mechanic angel. Come and fix my car. Amen? We have to use, I know we're laughing, but really, this is serious stuff. Why are we so concerned about the mess we're in? Why aren't we more concerned about that God has the answer for our mess? All right. There's an angel there to supply your need. I just heard God say. So I said, God has been telling us that this is the season of the angels. We need to be calling on the angels of God to do the works for us. Then we read the scripture. God wants to overthrow the poverty spirit that you have contended with in this past season. And if I had a show of hands, I can just about promise you that everybody in here has been working with poverty. You know, the poverty spirit, right? Then God wants to overthrow the poverty spirit that you have contended with in the past season, but you keep contending the same way you have always contended. The way you are contending is not against a distressing spirit that is holding you captive. All right? Only the anointing can reveal the spirit, and only the anointing can change your perception, and only the anointing can cause you to see the way God would have you see. He just revealed it to us, right? What we have to do. It was the anointing he gave me as I was typing this up and explaining things to me, and now I'm passing that anointing on to you, and now what you do with it is your business. If you're content in the state you're in, you know, poor, beggarly, you know, sickly or whatever you are, then that's your problem. But them angels are going to stand at attention with me. Amen. Come on. I mean, I told you that every night when I pray for the two boys, you know, I pray that, I said, the angel that assigned to Isaac, I want your full attention right now. I want you to come here and stay in this room with him. I don't want any darkness to come anywhere near him. I don't want him dreaming or anything else, having nightmares. I want him to sleep soundly. And ever since I started, when that boy goes to bed, he sleeps soundly. Both boys do. But before that, they weren't sleeping soundly. But see, once I demanded that they're assigned to them, right? Each one of us have an angel, right? They're assigned to us, and we need to put our angel to work. Why aren't we doing that? Come on. All right, I said, God must give you the anointing. You need to say, God, I need the anointing to see what I am fighting. All right? And then once God shows you the anointing, what you're fighting, then you call the angel to go and take care of that situation. All right? If you're depressed, then there's an angel of joy. I want an angel of joy. I want you to come, and I want you to take place with this depression, and I want to be joyful. I want to have the joy of the Lord everywhere I go. Amen. All right, that is why God chose David out in the field. Now listen to this. David knew nothing about the spirit he would be contending with because he was out in the field tending sheep, right? Therefore, God anointed him and then sent him on the battlefield. David knew nothing about the battlefield. David just knew when he heard the enemy speak. And so the enemy said in 1 Samuel 17:42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's what that Philistine, you know, and David didn't know anything was going on. He just knew everybody was going to war, so he went to see what was going on, right? And God had already anointed him in the field. God's the one to send him to the battlefield. And that upset David. Whenever that old big giant come against his God, so he's, I'll fix you. I'll take these little sticks and knock your head out, right? And he killed him. So, you know, you're going to fight battles that you don't know what you're fighting. You're not prepared to fight them. So you're going to have know how to call on those angels to go and fight those. I heard the preacher say years ago, I read where he said that it was an angel took that stone and took it right up there and smacked that guy in the middle of the eyes. It could be. An angel could have grabbed that stone and took it and killed that giant. I don't know. I wasn't there. I just know that the stone killed him. Doesn't matter how it did it, right? Well, it does matter, sort of, because if you're going to learn about angels and you want to know how serious they are, that's a good thing to know, right? How many stories have you heard about men in battle overseas when they're fighting battles, and they said that there was no way they could ever live, but God opened their eyes and they saw an angel encamped around about them, and the angels were keeping the bullets from hitting them. Amen. Somebody knew how to pray, didn't they? God is getting you to a place where you can hear when the enemy speaks. And that is what God would have you to go up against, what the enemy is saying and how the enemy is portraying himself. In other words, you might be depressed. So what you don't know is there's a spirit of depression just speaking depression into your spirit all the time. And so God has given us an anointing that we're going to know, that we know, that we know what we're fighting against. Are you listening here? I don't care what it is. Now, we all know that whenever all of a sudden everything's ripped out from underneath our feet, we know we go through Job experiences. We know when God said we're finished, and when the enemy, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose around about us, we know that's demonic, do we not? And, you know, we need to know, is it witchcraft? Is it voodoo? You know, what is it that I'm, is it a Jezebel spirit? Is it a Python spirit? We need to know what it is we're fighting against so we know how to pray against it, right? And the body of Christ does not do that. The body of Christ said, oh, no, here I go again, another warfare. You never bother finding out what the warfare is all about. You never bother finding out what you're fighting. You just start battling. Your hands are just hitting dead air. Am I right, guys? Right. All right. These are key moments, and the moments are short. Well, okay, let me read that. God is getting you to a place where you can hear when the enemy speaks, and that is what God would have you to go up against. what the enemy is saying and how the enemy is portraying himself. Brother Chris, you know that the enemy's witchcraft is and voodoo and stuff is coming against you, right? Then you need to find out which angel that is and send that angel to blast that thing out of your being. That's just what God told me to tell you. There's an angel to take care of that for you. All right, these are key moments, and the moments are shorter than normal for the victory you must attain. In other words, we don't have 10 years to get the victory. These are key moments in God's strategy, in God's timing, and we have to know immediately what we're fighting against to get the victory and move on. God is not asking you to address this enemy first with words. Rather, God has a new anointing you have to receive first. This anointing will go before you. In other words, God will give you a new anointing, and that anointing is going to go before you, and that anointing is going to fight that battle for you. He wants us to quit doing word fighting. He wants us to do spiritual fighting. The new anointing will cause the enemy to back off. This will give you a reprieve in your warfare. You are not defeating the enemy yet. But the enemy will back off to give you a reprieve to gain your authority when the new anointing, when you realize you have a new anointing. See, right now that enemy knows you're dumb. You know, that we don't know there's a new anointing. So he's just doing a lot of dirty stuff. But now after the night, oh God, he said, there she, big mouth, goes, told them all they have a new anointing. And he's going to back off. And you're going to have a reprieve. You're going to be able to regroup. And then you're going to defeat the enemy. All right, so said, but the enemy will back off to give you a reprieve to gain your authority. This is a time of reprieve for authority development. So right now we're in a reprieve. The enemy now is a little bit upset. He's really upset with you now because you have knowledge that he knows you're going to use. I just see you in the spirit just beating them devils right on up. Amen. This is a time of new authority. God is raising us up, transforming us into the image of his Son. And we know that every time Jesus walked in the room, the enemy manifested. Jesus commanded them to leave, and they left. Right now, tonight, God has given us new authority with this new anointing, and we're going to see the devil get upset. We're going to see hell, I hear God say, going to see hell boil over with anger because he knows you guys are grabbing hold of something tonight. New assignments are coming. Remember God spoke, said a new, we're going to get new assignments. It will be as if you have just been called from the field like David. God is not just calling the young for the new assignments. God is calling those that will enter in and operate the way he operates under an anointing, a powerful anointing. You're just about time you think you've attained, God gives us something new to work with, doesn't he? Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And this is the day we've stepped into tonight. God has taken those heavy burdens off of our shoulders, and he is pouring his anointing, new anointing, into us. Amen. Awesome. It's awesome. If you use words rather than anointing in the beginning, the enemy of the last structure will grab hold of you. In other words, God is restructuring each one of us. He's remolding, remaking, restructuring us because the old structure that he had made us into is not going to make it in the new thing that he's doing. So what God's been doing is restructuring us, remolding us, reframing us. All right. So I said, if you use words rather than anointing in the beginning, and this is what we were doing, the enemy of the last structure will grab hold of you, so we can't be using words now. We have to be using the angels. God is setting the course for a new structure, new way to be placed upon you. Without this new structure, new way, we will not know how to minister to the new lost souls. And Elaine, you're going to get an awful lot of downloading into you how to minister to the people on the street. And he said, if you think this week was great, you watch and see what's coming your way. We just can't go into a fight saying that, well, this is the way we did it before. Each and every fight is different to begin with. right? And so we always have to have God's structure, I'll say, on us to know how to win the battle. God is calling you out and developing a new anointing within you. God is causing you to recognize the new anointing. Allow the new anointing to become a reality, and then God will send you forth to confront the word that the enemy is speaking. And old blabbermouth, he speaks a lot of words, doesn't he? He sends a lot of things our way to destroy us. And I have noticed in my own walk with God that he is using me to do things totally different than how I used to do them. I don't fight battles like I used to fight them because there's no anointing to do that. Because I have to rely on them. I had to step into the new anointing and do it. And then God instructs me how to do this with a new anointing. So each one of you tonight in here, if you really want that new anointing to be deep-rooted and deep-seated inside of you, then you need to come up here to this altar and allow God to place that new anointing deep down within inside of you into a deep-down place where the devil will never, ever, ever be able to touch it.